Testing, testing. 1, 2. Testing. 1, 2.
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me. Did you hear a song?
Let me try no.
to play. Let me try to play a commercial and see. Because I can't hear anything.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me see. Okay, well, it don't appear that none of the audio is going to help us today. But you can still hear me clear?
I can hear you loud and clear. I can hear you real good.
Okay. Well, we are down audio, and I don't know. I'm praying that those that are listening can hear the broadcast. This is the second week in a row that we're experiencing problems with the provider, this particular service provider. So we just try to move forward. This is the Relationship Hour with Pastor Moore and Brother Dennis. And we did have a good intro set with definitely good clips to help us with our topic tonight. But apparently we're experiencing problems. I don't know if people are trying to call in and can't get through. But we're going to move forward. And hopefully we can stay connected. I can't hear anything. I can hear Brother Dennis. So I'm hoping that anybody else that's calling in will be able to hear the conversation on tonight. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So the fight is a spiritual fight and not a natural fight. And we seek to lift that up on this program, that some of the issues dealing with our relationships are not natural issues, but are spiritual issues. And you can't fight a spiritual battle with a worldly mind. And so it is our effort to talk about the issue and at the same time have a reference point, a biblical reference point, in which we can go to that will help us throughout the week. So welcome to the Relationship Hour. We don't have any commercials, no music, so we got to go straight through with the commentary for tonight. And I'm glad I got Brother Dennis on with me. Brother Dennis, can you still hear me? Brother Dennis.
I scared you, didn't I? I'm here.
Okay. And so I'm going to have to use you to kind of see if, you know, if it's still coming through or not, because, like I said, I can't hear anything but you. So, but go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just going to say, hey, man, we're going to do this right. We're going to make it happen, man. Whether or not, without the sound, man, we got people, they tuning in, they can hear us loud and clear. I hear you loud and clear. That's all that really matters right now. Until then, I guess we're going to have to, you know, wing it until we can do what we can.
Okay.
You ready to have some fun?
Man, we're going to make it happen. We came off a good week of struggling trying to get our best wishes out to the people in Boston last week, but, you know, we had those storms, and those storms hit all across the Midwest, and so we tried to make it through, the broadcast, but I couldn't get in, and they kept kicking me out, and so I hope we don't have a repeat tonight. And then, as a matter of fact, we're going to claim that right now, that we at least go through the broadcast without any technical difficulties. And if we do, then we probably just have to shut it down early. But I'm praying that we can at least we can hear each other and the conversation. We had a good conversation tonight, Brother Dennis.
Really, really. I'm ready, man. I don't know, man. Just the whole everything about it, man. The base around this, this reminds me of a movie. The Tyler Perry movie a little bit, man. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's just the whole concept is just so smooth. Much needed. Much needed.
Okay. And yeah, I'm going to lean on you, man, and so you could throw some points out from that movie, and we can use that as a part of the conversation tonight because we're talking about the X factor. We're talking about our exes, or if you have an ex in your relationship, a person that you were previously with, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out, and so in that you separated, and now you have somebody else, and that person is your ex. And so how does that look, and what should it look like in terms of a relationship basis, post, if you will, intimate relationship or the primary relationship. Now, you know, both of you all have moved on, but you still have an attachment. And especially if kids are involved, there's a deeper attachment because now you have to kind of talk to each other, see each other, engage one another for the sake of the kids. But so it's kind of a two-pronged conversation. One is ex where there's no kids involved. You know, is there an obligation at all to even communicate with that person or conversate with that person? And then when you have kids, what is the level of respect that should exist in that type of relationship? So we're gonna talk about all of that, man. And of course, we're gonna go to our dynamic panel. We seek to have a balanced panel. We want to have females and males kind of give us feedback on this particular topic because each gender experiences it on a different level. And so what type of emotional attachment exists, if you're male, and what type of emotional attachment exists if you're male? Is it easier for males to kind of move on and cut ties, or is there a need to kind of hold on? And you know, the more the merrier. Have, you know, an ex still, you know, in the wings. So we want to just uncover all the options that the enemy will use to destroy our relationships in this the next 90 minutes. And prayerfully, somebody that's listening will be able to tune in and get what is needed. Like always, we're glad that you all decided to tune in this evening. We got people already calling in. Praise God. We're going to get to our panel. And then if you are listening online at westernworld1.com and you want to call in, that number is 347-838-9106. Or if you know somebody who, you know, probably just had this conversation with you today, and you want to refer them to call in and let their comment be known, please do so. They can call in at 347-838-9106. We got roughly 90 minutes, a little bit more, to entertain this topic, and then we'll prayerfully get feedback from the callers if they start calling in. And we'll have a good show. We kind of thrown off a little bit because we don't have any audio. So we can't go to commercials, songs, and none of such. So we just got to go straight commentary for the program. And that's okay. What do you think about that, Brother Dennis?
That's cool. I'll try real quick to see if we can do a commercial, but I have no problem. If you want to go to commentary, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, see, maybe on your end. Try to run one right quick and let's see what happens.
All right. Okay. Yeah, it's not doing it. It's probably going to do it. You know how to do it.
Come in just on his own.
Yeah, I stopped it. Okay, let's go.
All right, man. Well, I tell you what, then, since we got people already on, you and I go for about 5 minutes on this topic, and then we'll just bring our people in right here. X Factor. You know, one thing that we know about a spiritual warfare is that part of it deals with the mind. The enemy plays on our mind, on our psyche, on our thoughts. And if we're not careful, we let him into our mind and we start thinking negative. And once we start thinking negative, we start dreaming negative, projecting negative. And then we start doing negative. And so the enemy can jump in our minds to make us do things that we should not do or we might not even want it to do. And given the fact that a spiritual warfare deals with us putting the whole armor of God on to fight against the enemy taking over our minds, it's possible that the reason we can't have successful ex-relationships it's because either the enemy has gotten their minds or the enemy has gotten our minds to say that it's impossible to exist, coexist, as an ex. And we have to hate each other, or we have to down each other, or we have to discourage each other, or we have to backbite each other or stab each other in the back to exist as ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend or ex-divorcee or ex, you know, fiance or whatever you put the ex in front of, the ex does not equal hate. And so not only do we want to talk about the different factors or the different ways that the enemy can jump into that type of relationship, an ex-relationship, but we also want to talk about how we can overcome that. And is it possible to, you don't have to love that person the way you used to love that person, but for the sake of the kids or for the sake of harmony and peace, could there be a level of, you know, cohesiveness there, you know? And then it all depends on why they became an ex. You know, what was the conditions that existed around the breakup or the separation? So it's a lot to dig into, Brother Dennis. It could be jealousy and envy of your current relationship. You know, you done broke up with somebody. They felt that you didn't give them the best of you, but then, too, now they're looking in on the relationship, and they're like, wow, you know, he or she doing this for that person. They didn't do it for me. You know, and so bitterness set in. And all of these are not of godly character. But these are characters of the enemy. And so we just want to dig into that, man. You were saying something about a movie by Tyler Perry. You want to go in on that right quick?
Well, actually, you know what? It's a little bit of a difference from this here. It was more so the temptation part of it, more so fighting against the flesh. You know what I'm saying? She married. The lady was married and then, you know, met the number one bachelor, you know, saying that a woman could ever want to meet, you know, handsome young man, body, you know, saying nice. You got, you know, saying very wealthy, you know, and just the whole mixture of what a female would ever want. You know what I'm saying? And here it is. She can have whatever she wanted, you know what I'm saying, like far as she had her husband. She had everything going by the Bible, strictly the ways. Her mother was a pastor. Well, her mother is a pastor. And, you know what I'm saying, it's like, what more could you ever want? And it was just the fact of the rush factor, you know what I'm saying, into that situation. And the guy that she was lusting over outside of her husband, he had an ex-girlfriend, you know what I mean? So, you know, and she was running away from him. So, you know, I don't want to kind of spoil the movie because I know people trying to go see it. Mm-hmm. I probably didn't see it yet. You know, I don't want to, you know, give nothing away. And I don't want them, you know, calling in on us like we wrong.
Right. Right.
Yeah, yeah, man. But I, just everything that you said, Fasimo, you know, as far as the ex, you know what I'm saying, the friendship, should there be a friendship there? I don't think that you should be, you know, friends, like far as go out, hang out, buddy, you know what I'm saying, with your friend. Like if you see your ex in the club or you see your ex at a event or you see your ex at a church or something like that, yeah, I mean, yes, me, how you doing? You know, other than that, you know, open line communication should really pretty much cease. But I had to learn the hard way on firsthand of that too. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really realize that until, you know, I had to get the situation blown in my face. You know what I'm saying? And I have to understand that, you know, that, yeah, okay, I can see if you draw ties with your ex, it can kind of open up doors there. And then you said something about the bitterness when a relationship is broken up. If the kids are involved, that's a stronghold, man, that, you know, that the male or the female, whoever has the kids, you know, if you want to implement the child support system into it, you know, it's a stronghold. You know, if that person, say, for instance, you come to agreements that you guys are going to pay each other, and then you in the system, and then the system doing something, and then, you know, as the kids get older, and you trying to, you know, talk with your ex about, you know, hey, look, we need to work this out amongst ourselves because if the system not working and your ex kind of bitter about the whole breakup situation, that's a stronghold. You know, that could play a role into that or even more so just how the breakup is. You know what I'm saying? Like the breakup. Now, if you guys say, okay, well, it was best that we needed to be friends. You know, lust can play a big picture into that role. You know, you lust over this person, and after a while, you really realize, like, no, this is not the right person for me. And you both come to agreeance of saying, like, yeah, I don't want to, you know, we don't want to do this. You know, so I'd rather be cool with you, and you go your way, I go my way. But, you know, every now and then, keep in touch. You know, I don't see nothing wrong with that, unless if you just know that there's not a lust in your, not an ounce of lust in your body for that person. Some people say that they shouldn't be together. You know, if you had sex with that person, then they never was your friend. You know, so that's another thing. You know, so you got like a, man, you got so many circles around this Pastor Mo, that you're going to need a scripture to in order to get up out of that.
Right. Well, I mean, you used the word stronghold. And we talked about the enemy will use us or people to do evil or to do stuff that is not of God. And will use any and everything to do it. So like you said, you know, what we have to be careful of is that we don't use children, innocent children, as a part of our vendetta. I don't care how you shake it. I don't care how you turn it. That's not what mature adults should do. We should not use children as our own personal vendetta to get at somebody. So if I want to make somebody mad or if I want to deface somebody, I talk negatively about them. You know, your mama ain't this or your daddy ain't that or da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's wrong. Or to pit the kid against the ex. You know, your daddy, you know, if I was you, I, you know, because he didn't do this or he didn't do that, I would tell him off or You know, all of that is wrong. When we're mature adults and we have the responsibility of being parents, that's just not because society say we're parents, but it's a part of becoming a more mature person now that you are responsible for somebody else's life. You know, we're responsible for our children's lives. You know, the law says until 21 when they become grown, but in essence, you know, you never are truly separated from your kids. Even if they move out and never live in your house again, they are still your blood walking the earth. And
right.
So
wow.
We should not be a part of putting any type of hate. The world already going to attack them with hate. The world already going to try to influence them with hate. But as parents, we should not introduce them to hate, even if it's in an ex situation. We have to be careful that we don't allow the enemy to convince ourselves that that's the right thing to do. You know, and some people, Brother Dennis, will convince themselves that I'm justified by telling her, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, anytime we introduce hate into a child that's dependent on us for wisdom and knowledge, we have done the wrong things for the wrong reasons, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to produce the wrong results. And so we ought to be people of good character. And that's just not in words, but that's in deeds also. We should try to do our best, regardless of what a person has done to us in a previous relationship. Now, if it's by way of safety, and we say, well, I can't let you go over there because, you know, I'm not. You know, that's one thing. But to dog somebody because you got a personal vendetta against them, it's not the right thing to do. And so, Brother Dennis, it's me and you on the phone, man. I want to get some softer voices on right here. Can we do that? Can we go to the line?
Absolutely. Let's see what we can do here. We should be able to.
Okay. Let me see. Instead of let us go to the line. Okay, I believe it did. Sister Trina, are you all with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, wait a minute. We look like we might have some. Can you still hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, have you been following the conversation?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and we're talking about exes. We're talking about ex relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And from the standpoint, does ex equal hate? You know, if we was algebra majors, or you know, where you have to find the value of ex, which is the unknown, what would it equal? And so I don't know, Sister Trina, if you ever had an ex experience. And I don't know if you have, if it's been good or bad. But just throw in your commentary on this topic on tonight. Is it possible to hate not be a part of the equation of an ex?
Well, you know, in my opinion, I believe once you're done with something, you might as well just leave it alone. Instead of going back, because you already know what it's all about anyway. That's like throwing something in the trash and then going back and then get it out and eat it. You know, that's useless to do that. But, you know, if you have kids in that relationship, you know, the best thing to do with that is to just be mature about it and get along for the kids. But as far, you know, if you guys don't have kids, then, you know, I think it's just best to just let it alone. Go your separate ways. And if you see each other, in the streets, then it don't hurt to speak. You know, it's not wise to hate each other. But, you know, I don't think it's good to try to rekindle anything because it's not going to change. You know, it's nothing, you know how some people try to get back together and say, well, maybe, you know, I'll try to get, because I did that. I really did that with my marriage. I said, okay, I'm going to give him another chance. You know, I was communicating with him and it sounded like he, you know, had got some sense. But when I made that last phone call, it was so horrible. You know, first I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, you know, I'm still in love with him. And maybe it's something that I'm not really seeing. So show me. Sure enough, I called him on the phone, and the way he was talking and acting, I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I didn't get back into something that I shouldn't even get back into. So, you know, that's when I allowed myself to take the next step to go on and divorce him, because he just wasn't mature enough. He just wasn't ready to be that husband that I wanted, that I desired. So, you know, but we still communicated with each other and everything, but we just, you know, decided to just go and get a divorce. He didn't want to get a divorce, but I just wanted to, you know, I didn't want to stay in that and waste my time with something I know I wasn't going to pursue. So I just, you know, I had to let that go because it was just a waste of time. But as far as getting along, yeah, I think that's best that ex-couples do get along and be mature about it. But
That brings up another question. See, we got more callers calling in. Callers, if you want to join the conversation, press the number one to let us know. We just don't arbitrarily bring you in, but you have to press that number one, and then we'll bring you on into the conversation. But let me ask you, is that really an ex then? If you broke up or divorced or separated from a person,
mm-hmm.
However, saying that, well, I don't want to be married to you. I don't want to be in a relationship with you. But we can still kick it. We can, you know, mm-hmm. All parts of the relationship were bad. It was just certain parts of the relationship. So we can still hang out. I still want to talk to you on the phone. I just don't want to have a spiritual or an attachment by way of marriage, or an attachment by way of we living together, or attachment by way of saying that we're together. However, there are some aspects that I like about you, and so I'm going to keep those aspects, and we're going to stay in communication. Is that really an ex then? You know,
no.
Because, okay, go ahead, expound on that. Talk about that.
That's really not an ex, because it's like you're trying to get back in where you fit in, where you were deep, where you didn't fit in. I said that you're trying to get back in, because if you've been with this person for a long amount of time, and you guys are still communicating, then sure, you guys gonna start back having sex and start back all, you know, all these different things that y'all did before, which is gonna make the situation worse. Because if it didn't work before and you still trying to communicate and pretend like it is working, it's just going to make it worse. It really is, you know. It just really going to make it worse, because when you've been with a person for a long amount of time, then those feelings are still there. But it does not mean that you actually love that person. So you could just, so some people may tend to still stay in relationships that's horrible just for the sake of not being alone. And that's a horrible thing to do, is to stay with someone so, you know, so they don't feel alone. And the best thing to do is just let it go, let it alone, and don't try to rekindle it. If there's nothing there to rekindle, because if it was something there to rekindle, then they wouldn't be broke up in the first place. And so I just, you know, with my marriage, I just felt like, okay, that's just something that I just needed to leave alone and just let go, because it didn't seem like, as hard as I tried, it just seemed like it just wasn't something that was going to prosper. So I just had to just, you know, I don't like wasting my time. And in that situation, I was wasting my time, so. That was just something that I had to let go.
Okay. Brother Dennis, if you still communicating with this person, you know, you hear some people say, well, you know, we was fine when we was friends, but what happened once we tried to take it further, that's when the problem started. And so I'd rather be that person's friend than, you know, have a relationship with that person, if you will. Does that make them an ex? Is that truly an ex if you still communicating with that person?
Well, in the way that you brought it and the way you described it, then no, it's not. It's like you communicating with somebody that you rekindle with or something. Now, if let's say, for instance, y'all did do all that and you knew that it just wasn't right, it wasn't working, it wasn't no good chemistry there, nothing like that, and y'all communicating like every blue moon or something like that, then yeah, it's different. You know what I mean? Either way it go, it's like a synonym. It's the same name, but just different meaning to it with their situation. You know what I mean? I feel like this personally, you know what I'm saying? If you not, for instance, if you don't have like some kind of entertainment or some kind of, you know, since something where it's an organizational type of structure to it, and maybe you want to do kind of, you know, communicate to get people involved, then I don't think you really should have no kind of communication with your ex, period. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, again, it opened doors. You know what I'm saying? This is just my personal thing. And the reason why, because I would sound very contradictory, because, you know, if I just, let's say, for instance, if I didn't have the Western World Network, or I wasn't doing nothing in a sense or whatever, and I would just communicate with my ex just to be doing it, it'd be kind of wrong for me, you know, just to do it if I'm just doing it on a regular basis. Now, if you guys broken up and you guys came to terms and agreements that this is something that's just not right for you guys, then by all means, necessary. And then also, too, one more thing is this is, I stated this before, too. If y'all broke up and that person didn't want a part of you where they had you, why still give them all of you when y'all not together? It's kind of like, what's the point of being an ex then? If you felt like you wasn't with me, but you still feel like you could be my friend, but you want my friendship, what's the point of being around me? If you're an ex, then you go. Ex them out. That's just how I feel.
That's true. Yeah. And we I'm going to bring in this next caller. Let me bring in this next caller because let me see if it's working. Okay, caller, what's your name? 773-960. Caller.
Oh, hi, it's Drina.
Hey, Drina, Sister Drina, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're fine. We're talking about X.
Yeah.
In relationships, and we know there's two types. There's an ex where there's no kids involved, and then you have an ex if there is kids involved, in two different situations. You know, if you're married or were married, didn't have any kids, or if you were married and had kids, or if you're engaged and didn't have any kids, or if you're engaged and didn't have kids, or if you were together and didn't have no kids, or together and had kids, two different. I don't know if there's two different feelings behind that as being an ex, because really, and I just threw this question out there to Sister Trina and Brother Dennis, really, can you be considered an ex, especially when kids are involved, when you got to talk to each other for the sake of the kids, you got to see each other for the sake of the kids, you got to have camaraderie at a certain level for the sake of the kids. You got to have some type of a respect for one another for the sake of the kids. So is it really an X factor there when kids are involved? And then on the flip side, when there's no kids involved and you guys just decided to separate, but still, you know, you hear people say, well, we was friends before we were, you know, before we got into a relationship, but when we got into the relationship, that's when it all fell apart. So I'd rather be friends, but then you with somebody else now, and now the person that you used to be with, you want to be their friend because that was the best part of the type of relationship y'all had before y'all became intimate. But is that person considered an ex? I just want to throw that out there and get a good feel for this right here.
Sure. I am more than likely going to jump around a lot with this, but I want to start by throwing in a third scenario, which I definitely can speak on personally, where you have an ex and kids are involved, but they are not biologically tied to either one. Like, you guys were, when you were in a relationship, you were co-parenting. You know, his set of kids didn't have their mother around consistently, and your set of kids didn't have their father around consistently. And so together you guys were parenting the kids collectively.
Okay.
So for me, that was a situation that I had. And when we broke up, me, you know, being exes, we still continued to co-parent. I honestly do not believe that people have to have, like, these bad breakups. I mean, I can honestly sit here and say, like, I've not had a bad breakup where I break up with somebody and there's all this animosity and negativity. Well, I take that back, maybe once. But generally speaking, I am actually able to have friendship at the relationship. And I believe that that's important because you just respect the fact that it didn't work. That doesn't mean that you guys have to be angry with each other or you can't communicate. I mean, you guys can still talk if, again, you know, you respect the fact that the relationship is over. Oftentimes people, you know, one person has let go and the other person hasn't. And that's when issues come in. One person can be a friend, but the other one is holding on to hope. And therefore, that becomes a problem, and the friendship doesn't, you know, it doesn't work out as a true friendship. But I don't think that we have to go into these situations where we're ending something with someone and we feel like, well, I can't be that friend because we didn't work out as a couple. You know, it didn't work out for us in a relationship or marriage or engagement or whatever have you. I mean, we're all supposed to still, I mean, the bigger picture of it is that we're all supposed to support each other. In God's eyes, we're still all, you know, we're supposed to help each other out and be supportive in all these things because we're all part of God, you know, and it's loving thy neighbor and all that still plays a factor. So what if you didn't work out in your relationship? Does that mean you can't still support each other? You know, whether, you know, even if you don't have kids, even if kids aren't involved, if, and I'm just saying this to give an example. Say me and Dennis used to date. It didn't work out. Am I not going to support him in Western world because we're not together? You know, whatever it is that he's doing, shouldn't I still support him as a child of God? Like, can't we still talk? Can't we still have conversations? Because none of us can make it alone, and just because we can't be together, does that mean that we can't be friends? I don't think so. I've not really, you know, like I said, I may have had like one really bad breakup, but actually overall I have remained friends with my boyfriends. Like there's a guy I dated like, you know, about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and we still talk to this day. We, you know, if there are family functions or whatever's going on, we can still hang out, and it's not an issue. If you ended up in another relationship after your breakup, again, so long as you respect the relationship that you're in and you continue to set boundaries and being friends with your exes, I don't see a problem with it.
Mm. So the Esther effect, and I'm gonna explain that. It doesn't bother you. And when I say the Esther effect, in the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 17, it says, now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vanish. And so I read that because sometimes what prevents people from having the type of relationship that you're saying that you've been able to do, with the exception of one, is because being friends, you get an opportunity, you see what that person is doing in their current relationship. And it could be a window into jealousy, because you said, man, when we was together, he didn't put no crown on my head. When we was together, he didn't give me favor and set me aside and buy me this and get me that and take me here and take me there. But he's doing that now in this new relationship. Could that be a window that the enemy could use if we remain friends? I'm telling you, you know, and we know each other intimately. We know each other's secrets. I done told you, you know, Dennis did a show on pillow talking. And we done pillow talked, you know, stuff about my family. I know stuff about your family. And we remain friends, and you coming over to parties and this, that, and the other, and you seeing me with this woman, being affectionate, and, you know, couldn't that be a window, if you will, to some insecurities or to some jealousies or something to that effect?
I mean, I think that means that you're not over the relationship if it affects you in that way. You're not over that person. So if you're not over the person, then you can't truly be their friend. If you're still, you know, lusting and longing for this person and doing a comparison of their current relationship or the past relationship that you had, or even in your current relationship, you know, comparing that to the person you used to be with, then there are still some underlying issues there. I mean, I'm saying friendship in the true sense of, you know, I totally respect the fact that we did not work out in a relationship, but being friends means we're still going to support one another, whether or not you're in a relationship or I'm in a relationship. You know, we're still going to be there for each other and support each other and be able to talk. And it's just a certain level of respect, because, like I said, the gentleman that I was with years ago, and it's so funny because we laugh because we have been broken up longer than we were even together, but we still do things when it comes to the kids and support the kids. And even, you know, the breakup was fresh and he was in a relationship, I was still going and picking up report cards for his kids and, you know, parent-teacher conferences and doing all of that. I had no problem with the relationship that he was in. I wasn't comparing it like, oh, he's doing this for her and he didn't do this for me. It was like, well, you know, if you found somebody that makes you happy, I'm happy for you, but we still have these ties and we still have this system, as I kind of refer to it, going on, so I'm going to continue in that. So, I mean, I'm with you. Yeah, the devil can throw those sneak attacks and throw those things in there and whisper in your ear, and now your insecurities are building, but that already builds off some other underlying issues to me.
If I could press my applause key in the system, I would be giving you applause, but it's not working tonight. But, I mean, Brother Dennis, help me right here. I think that Sister Drina is one in a million. She's that diamond in the rough, if you will, because, you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, and if it was if love was involved, not lust, not affection, not convenience, but if true love was involved, and to the point you said, man, you know, you looking at this person, you said, man, this is it. I know this is who God gave for me, and this is going to be it. And then somewhere down the road, we break up, and you get with somebody else, and I know, you know, the behind the closed doors part of you, and that's not saying intimacy, that's saying everything, you know, if you was abused, if, you know, it's certain stuff you share that just draw people closer to each other. And then we break up. It'll be hard for some people to give of themselves and not have no attachment, not have any, you know, feelings behind seeing that person all into somebody else. You know, I don't know. Brother Dennis, help me with that. If you had an ex, can you be there as a friend for your ex and like Sister Drina say, you know, if you know, go in, if she need a car fix, you'll fix her car. If she, you know, whatever the situation, can you be there, like, and knowing that she got another person, could you operate in that capacity?
Well, yeah, if I know that that's, you know, if I'm just cool with her, you know, say that's my friend, I'm not there no more, but if I have feelings, no, absolutely not, because that person is probably the one who you broke up with me with, you know. you know, that type of thing, you know. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have no problem with it, you know. And wait, let me rephrase it. If I wasn't in a relationship either. Now, if I'm in a relationship, nah, I can't, you know. Nah, and then again, you know what I'm saying, it'll be something that we'll have to, you know, have to consider, you know what I'm saying, because it's kind of hard to really, you know, just your ex, you know, I moved on, you moved on, you'll just have to blow you calling me. It's you either A, you really must really need it, or B, you might be using it as leverage to see me, or C, if I'm just really cool with you. If I'm cool with you, we, like I said, we ended on, you know, on a good note. I go my way, you go your way. Just out of the blue, you just call me and say, hey, my car broke down. This was going on with me. And I got it. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't have no problem with doing it. But I still got to make sure that my girl is okay with it, too, because, you know, you just can't just do it, you know, saying on a sneaky hand. And, you know, she might find out one day. You know, y'all might meet at a concession. And she might say thank you and give your money back in front of her. And you're like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, just those type of natures. You know, I experienced all that before in my life. So I'm just giving you the YouTube visions in my head. So,
you said you got to, it has to be full disclosure with the person you with to say, listen, I'm still friends with my ex. I mean, just that in itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you comfortable with saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to say it. I mean, it all depends on how, let's say you and your ex, y'all, let's say it turned into like a tighter bond, like just real tight and cool, and the sexual part ain't even a factor no more. Y'all even forget that y'all even probably did something. You know what I mean? It's, you got to raise that up to your significant other, man, just off of just experience of it. You got to raise that question up, unless if you had it, then it's almost like you probably, it's almost an increment of that might be another chance to go back or something, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Or it could be a situation to where you forgot to mention it, you know what I'm saying, because If that's your ex and you rarely see that person, you know, you ain't going to just, oh, that's my ex, so, you know, I'm cool with her. You see what I'm saying? So it's like it all depends on that. It all depends, man, on that situation, man, that what type of situation that you are in. Now, if we stick with what your description, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm laughing because I guess these are one of the topics where it's easier said than done. Say for example, you friends with your ex.
Uh-huh.
And you friends to the point where you could call them and be like, yeah, you know, I need your advice. I'm going through this, that, and the other in my current relationship. And that person be like, okay, you know, let's meet up at whatever. When you get there, you got all these emotions going on and you know, that other person may have been coming from, I don't know, a party or getting ready to go somewhere, and they come in, you know, with your favorite outfit on. And you already in a disadvantaged kind of state of mind, a broken down state of mind, and now they come in with not purposely now, not that they was like, well, I still got attachment, but they just come in because they was going to do something else, but they want to, you know, help you because y'all friends. And in your weakened state, it generates another conversation like, man, I really don't want to be alone tonight. I really need somebody. And that other person, out of friendship, if this is possible, may feel sorry. They may be like, oh, man, you know, I want to be there for this person. And, you know, I'm going to cancel whatever I had. And, you know, we're going to catch a movie, a late night movie. You catch a movie, and next thing you know, y'all go somewhere. I just, you know, I really don't want to, you know, be. It reminds me of that movie Wesley Snipes. And Angela Bassett. What was the name of that movie? Well, he had his wife.
Exhale.
What was it?
Waiting to Exhale.
Yeah, Waiting to Exhale at the end, and he was on a business trip, and she was on a business trip, and they wind up going up to the room together. I think his wife was sick with cancer or something.
Yeah.
And her husband had just dogged her out and got with somebody else. The dynamic was so just crazy in that movie. But they didn't wind up sleeping with each other intimately, but they did sleep with each other in the same room, in the same bed. But I was just using that as the scenario of running into your ex. But doesn't that leave room for something to happen, for something to go down when you friends and you friends to the point where when you down and out, you can call this person and they'll be there for you and all this and that type of stuff?
I do. I think it does, Pastor Mo. And also, I just wanted to touch on a point that God says they are passed for a reason, and to keep lingering around, that's not good. That's not good at all, because that's just not good. That's just not good to linger around like that, because once it's done, because that's when the devil comes in with the spirit of lust. That's like an accident waiting to happen. That's like, you know, you setting yourself up for downfall. What are you still hanging around for if y'all not together anymore? You know, it just don't make sense. Because if you're still hanging around, then that's going to make him and his girlfriend argue, or her and her boyfriend argue, and cause a lot of confusion in their relationship. And it's useless. I mean, let the past go and deuces. You know, you can't just keep hanging around like a little lost puppy trying to stay in the picture when you need to just go and be mature about it and go on your own separate ways and, you know, go and do you and, you know, find you somebody else. But that, you know, hanging around is just opening up doors for bad things to happen. It just is because I wouldn't be hanging around with any of my exes at all. Once that's done, it's done. We don't, you know, like I said, if I see them in the street, yeah, I speak, but I'm not, and especially if they got a girlfriend, I'm not going to be going around them all in their face, and they got a girlfriend, because I believe that's disrespectful, because I'm not going to do something that I don't want done to me. And if I was in a relationship with someone, I don't want their ex-girlfriend lingering around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel like if that's done, let that be done, and, you know.
Now, and especially, say if the ex-girlfriend, and you know how the enemy have us looking at other people and judging them. And what if the ex-girlfriend is very successful, very, you know, got it going on, and he had been telling you, you know how we had a conversation, what type of man do you like? What type of woman do you like? And she wind up being the type of woman that he had always talked about to you. Can't that add a level of jealousy in there?
It will be, because if your boyfriend is if he keeps comparing you to his ex-girlfriend, oh, it's going to be serious problems, because he haven't let that go yet. He haven't let her go in his heart yet. And so that means he still has that old baggage left in his heart that he haven't let go. So that's going to automatically cause problems. Maybe if the woman didn't cook something the way he liked it, he'll say, oh, well, she used to cook, you know, fried chicken like this and like that. Oh, no, that's no. That's why I said when people separate from each other, they just need to let it go. They outpass the past go, because it causes a lot of problems. It really does.
So, Brother Dennis and Sister Dreamer, Brother Dennis, and we know this all go back also to how we were brought up. Some people might not have a problem because they're just a people type of person with being friends and, you know, bringing it in. If you are able to have that type of relationship, what are some of the tools or what makes that happen? What is the source that makes a person be able to put the past behind and can be friends with another person? What are some of the tools of making that happen?
Well, outgrowing that person. That person absolutely can't be your type no more. Or it could be something that could have turned you off by that person. You know what I'm saying? It's just basically those are the elements. Because, I mean, if you still with that person, you broke up that person, but you still got feelings with that person, you're going to have to cut that off completely. You know, mm-hmm. Because you can't, then you fake friendly. You know, so you being a fake friend, you know, waiting for your chance probably, you know what I'm saying, or a safety net, you know what I'm saying, trying to wait for your turn again. So it's like, you know, it's just best that, if you're not with that person, or if y'all broke up on good terms, or you outgrown that person, or you just don't like that person no more, I think that you could really be cool and be tight with that person. No feelings at all.
But it can't be no feelings. But I guess what I'm saying, going back to that, you know, you and your girl got into it. You leave the house. You friends with your ex. You call and say, listen, I'm in a bad mood right now. You know, I'm, you know, thinking about drinking or whatever. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to come down here. And she, you know, y'all friends, so she's going to say, okay, I'll be down there. And she come down there and, you know, so it don't mean that feelings weren't involved, but the opportunity presented itself. I guess what I'm saying, because you can be mad and do some crazy things, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it was feelings involved, but the opportunity presented itself, and then the next day you're like, man, what was I thinking about? So, you know, how do you be friends with somebody and not have feelings for them? I guess is the question. But with your ex, I mean, how do you be friends with your ex and not have feelings for them? And so you said you kind of outgrow them, or it's something about them that just don't turn you on no more.
Absolutely, because if I'm still attracted to my ex, or I know that I got some type of feelings for my ex, and I can do that for my ex, there's no sense of trying to be around it. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be somewhere along the line that either my ex got a downplay the situation or I got a downplay the situation. It can't be, though, we still got this attraction for each other, because that's all that it will do is open up room. You know what I'm saying? Especially if I'm mad and, you know, and I'm upset, and then I turn around, I call my ex, and I know I got a physical attraction. I'm already ready to, you know, I'm looking for trouble. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking to do it. You know what I'm saying? But if I don't have no, you know, nothing there, and I call up, you know what I'm saying, and I meet up, and you be looking bad, I'm like, dad, you looking good? It'd be more of a compliment. Like, dad, you looking all off the chain. Who you trying to look good for? You see what I'm saying? So it'll be more like a friendship type of feel to it. If I see her and she's banging and I still got that feelings for her, no. You as a person, you got to be responsible enough to say, you know what? I'm going to put myself in this web. Lusting or not, I'm the one that, you know, if you really look at the big picture, what's going to happen here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have made stupid mistakes in my life. You know what I'm saying? So I know the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Sister Trey.
Yes, no.
I just want to say
that to me, calling on an ex is just, you know, you're just setting yourself up for a downfall because you never know if that person really still wants you. And they may give you bad advice intentionally to break you and that couple, you know, break you and your significant other up so they can move back in. So I think that's a bad idea to get advice from your ex. And, you know, that's what friends are for. I'm sure, you know, like if the guy has male friends, then he can call on them or family members and vice versa for the woman. I think the worst thing to do
is a little different. Because say if you had somebody that went to jail and, you know, they got raped in jail.
Mm-hmm.
They come out and they share that with their current girlfriend. After mm-hmm. being out, they break up. That type of information ain't information that person might just want to share with any and everybody. Even though they're in a new relationship, they might be at a different point in their life at the point. If something go down and they say, man, if I could talk to anybody, I know I could talk to so-and-so. You know, so sometimes you build those bridges that are kind of a soul tie. And I think Sister Drina was saying something to that effect when she said that they were co-parenting children. You kind of have a soul tie, which might not have any romantic feelings involved, which could be, you know, totally innocent on the face of it. And so, and that's why they might call out to that person, you know, not with the intent of getting with them, but, you know, they hurt right now. They need somebody to talk to who they have been open and honest with and who understands them and don't judge them. And, you know, it's hard to find them people that that you could tell anything to and they won't have a judgmental eye to the situation. And so go ahead, Sister Trina. I'm sorry to break you.
I was just saying, like, to set an example, say a person was alcoholic for, let's say, 20 years, and that's just like them going every night to go sit at a bar, but they're not drinking. Eventually, after being an alcoholic for 20 years, they will be tempted, you know, after going to this bar every single night. You know, how people will trick themselves, well, I can just go on and go over such and such house, and I know they're still doing the things that I used to do that I used to, you know, they say I'm doing the things they used to do, but I can go hang around, it won't bother me. Then eventually, after being around in that atmosphere, they tend to get back into it. And so if you set yourself up in an atmosphere where you are, where you can be tempted, you just like you send yourself up for a downfall. No matter how you try to sugarcoat it, you just send yourself up for a downfall. You just are. You really are. And so, like I said, that's just like an alcoholic going to a bar saying, okay, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to drink. I'm going to be strong. He's telling himself this every day, I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink, no matter what. I see my favorite drink back there, but I'm going to be stronger and I'm not going to drink. And the more he steps to make this, the more he steps himself into that situation, then instantly, boom. He might say, okay, one little small glass ain't going to hurt. And then, boom, that's opening up that door.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's all it takes. One little.
So now, Sister Drina.
Yeah.
Give me some commentary on that. What's the secret? We want to know, other than I'm sure all of us want to know, What's the secret? And you shared it with us earlier, but I want you to give us the secret. What's the secret behind being able to, I mean, cut the umbilical cord or cut all ties and cut all ties and be able to be friends.
I think the thing is that you have to remember what it was that you had, what's the reason behind the breakup, and what it is that you really want. Like a few moments ago, you said if there's this couple and this guy says, oh, I've always wanted a woman like this. I've always wanted, a lawyer or, a woman to look this kind of way. And his ex knows that about him. And he finds his new girlfriend is that. Like, you know that that's what he wanted. So how can you be mad, especially when you're not that? And Brother Dennis spoke a moment ago, and he was saying how, you may call on your ex and need somebody to talk to, but then you see her, and she's looking this type of way, and now you're giving her these compliments. But initially, the whole point of you guys meeting was because you were kind of going through something and wanted to talk. Well, now you're crossing that friendship line, and her knowing that there is a friendship line needs to bring things back to the table. Okay, look, now you're complimenting me, and I'm not sure where this is going. I was coming out to support you, but if you're trying to get back with me in these compliments or, you have some type of ulterior motive, then, I'm out. Now, if you want to talk and you just need some vent, because I know you and I can give you some, some genuine advice, then we can do that. But if you're coming out, trying to on the sly get with me, then we're not really friends and I need to cut you off. And, to kind of give my opinion, I like what Sister Trina was saying, this person is an alcoholic and now they're going to the bar. Well, maybe they're going to get sick at the bar. Maybe they're going to get sick or tired of smelling the liquor. They don't remember how they used to get drunk and throw up or how, them having this alcohol problem caused them to lose their job and lose their family. And maybe that's going to help them to get stronger and leave the bar. Like, maybe they need that reminder about, again, like, what the breakup was about. Why did they stop drinking?
Oh.
It doesn't have to be, it just has, where's your mind? Like, again, like, yeah, the devil can play tricks on you, but where's your mindset? Like, where's your inner strength to say, I recognize this is a trick and I'm not falling for it?
Well, Sister Drina, that's like, while you're sitting there, of course, the devil's going to use that against you. And as you're sitting there in the bar, he's going to put them thoughts in your head and say, remember when you was drinking and how you used to have so much fun and all the ladies was on, all the ladies was all around you and you had this and that. And all he needs you to do is to respond to that thought. That's it. Once you respond to that thought, that's true. I was, like the guy would say, I was the man back then. Yeah, I did have all the women around me. Yeah, I was this and I was that. And all a person needs is a thought. That's all the devil needs is a thought. And once you create that thought, you have now incubated that thought. And the more you think, the more you're going to feed on it. And the more you water it, the more it's going to grow. And that's when your downfall is going to come. So if it's something that used to be your downfall, the best thing I think to do is just let it go. Because, that's like a person that's on drugs, smoking crack or something, saying, I'll never smoke crack again, but going around a crowd of crackheads that still smoke crack, what sense does that make? Because that's like, you're going back, you finna set yourself up for another downfall,
I
hear you, and I think that holds true, but there are always exceptions to the rule. Like you said, all it takes is that thought. You, as an individual, decide what that thought is going to be in your mind. Like, do you play into the fact of, oh, I was a man and I had all these women, or do you play into the fact I would wake up
sick and my wallet will be stolen, or I'm jeopardizing my life because I'm sleeping with different women. I don't know if I got AIDS. I don't know if I'm having protected sex because I'm so out of it. You decide what that thought is going to be. It's a matter of self-control. It's a matter of what you really want to reflect on. Like, everything that glitters ain't gold. Like, you know, you may used to be the man, but what was the backlash to that? And, I mean, I'm with you. I agree. Like, there are certain people who cannot stop drinking. You know, if they go around people that are drinking, they're going to drink. But there are people who have the willpower and the strength to say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to have this club soda, or, you know, water with lime is fine with me. You know, it just depends on the person. And where we're talking about exes, it depends on the people. Because, again, one person can have one idea of what this, you know, what their now situation is going to be. Now that they're not in a relationship, are they really going to be friends? Or are there still some underlying things there, some ulterior motives? Oh, I'm going to call her over because I know I can get her to come because she say we friends, but on the low, I'm really trying to get back with her. Like, it just really depends on the people we're talking about.
And I think what we're, and Brother Dennis, I want you to help me with this. I think what we're hearing is, Sister Drina is saying that it depends on the inner value system of the person that will kind of control their thought process and their belief system. And Sister Trina saying the environment can provide enough temptation that even if you have a good belief system, that it could sway you to do something that you even might not want to do. So, Brother Dennis, we know that, you know, Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know that by the flesh being weak, we need our spirit to be willing to seek God to help us, you know, depending on what situation we're in when it comes to our exes. And I think that's what's missing in a lot of relationships when it comes to exes, that we're dealing with each other not out of a spiritual realm, but we're dealing with each other in a worldly realm. And when we deal with each other in a worldly realm, anything goes. You know, it could be an honest, let's go to Great America and take the kids and turn into something else. You know, it could be an honest, you know, come over and fix my car, and it could turn into something else because the worldly mindset is open for any and everything. And this is why the spiritual factor, seeking God for strength and knowing that we of ourselves can trick our minds of thinking that, yeah, I got this, you know, I'm together, I can do this and I can do that. And if we don't know that we have to seek God to give us that strength to fight against them temptations, to fight back against, you know, those thoughts that have us doing, you know, or thinking about doing some crazy things, then we have set ourselves up for failure. What do you think about that? Does the flesh win a lot? Do we go to God when we're faced with those particular circumstances or situations?
Absolutely. I think that if you're weak with the situation, you know, I believe so. I think it's more so how strong-minded are you in the situation. If I know that I have not a dab of liking for you, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, you can like me all day in the gate. You can flirt with me all day in the gate. You know, even if you harmless flirt back, but you know there it's not going to go no farther than what the situation is. I just feel like you don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, perfect example. When I was 18 years old, I was smoking weed like crazy. I mean, I wasn't like a weed here how these kids are now today, but I guess in them days it was called a joint. We were really on hip on blunts. But I just woke up one day and said, I don't want to do it no more. And I was still 18 years old, and I haven't did it since. Like, you know, going around it or see it, I can see it at any given moment. I just don't have the lust for no more. Once the lust is knocked out of anything, you don't care what that person could be or doing or how it's entertained. You know, in a situation, a person could have the most banging body in the world. And if you're just not attracted to that person, it's more of a compliment. Hey, you looking good. Okay, that's what's up. You know, and keep it moving. And if it's very genuine, you know, that's not my fault that, you know, if you got likings for me, that's not my fault, you know. But if I know that you have likings for me, then it is my fault because I got to take myself out of the equation, period, because I don't want to hurt you and I don't want to hurt myself. You know, if I'm your friend and you have a liking for me, and I'm just putting it off on me, and you have a liking for me, and I'm your friend, and I know I don't like you in that kind of way, I'm going to cut all ties with you because I know that it's not going to never be that, and I don't want to have you hurting yourself over.
I got to stop you now. People. And I want to get your feedback on this. People love attention. I have come to find out that people love attention. And they don't care what type of, most of them don't care what type of attention they get. And so say if it is somebody you're not attracted to, or not you, but you know, the exes. Or when y'all was together, it was, you know, they was off the chain, but now time done hit them and weight and this, that, and the other. And so that attraction has dissipated. But the attention that they give, you know, if you need somebody to talk, you just call them, they're ready to talk. If you need somebody to text, you just text them, they're ready to text. If you need somebody to play Monopoly, the longest game in the world, they're gonna have patience and play Monopoly. I'm just giving examples.
Right.
People love, especially nowadays, man, people are doing some crazy stuff for attention. And so give me attention factor. You know, people might not be attracted, but they love that attention. They love somebody occupying their time. They love somebody that they can just readily call and that person just there waiting, just going to give you conversation. Even though they know that that person like her. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, now you're on a different story now. You know, you love this attention. I think you'd probably be too much more caught up in yourself than you were with the, you know, with that situation. You know, if I'm working out, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, if I'm working out and I'm getting my body together, and I just want the compliments, you know, the attention grabber, you know, I'm into myself. Like, yeah, I look good. You know, I'm this, that, the other. I don't think that I'm still trying to, you know, as a friend, you know, saying you coming at me and you give me that attention. I probably downplay you because you're my friend. You see what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't even, you know, I'll take your compliment, like, oh, whatever. All right, cool, thank you, as a nickname or something. But I wouldn't take your compliment super serious unless I know that you coming to me and you serious. I'm telling you, man, I'm real downfounded when it comes to a female flirting with you, you know. I'm so friendly that I don't really take it until you really got to do something in front of me, or you really got to just strictly say it to me, or you got to do something to me to make me say, hey, you know, that friends don't do that, you know. And I have always been like that because I don't look for it, you know, saying, unless I like you. Now, if I like you, I sense it in no time. But if I'm not into you or not coming at you in that type of way, and you coming at me like that, you know, after a while I probably pick up, but not the first couple of times, unless you just straightforward or straight blunt with me. You know, if you blunt with me, you tell me that, oh yeah, that I know up top, then yeah, it's my fault. But if you flirt with me, I promise you, it takes somebody else outside of the element to say, hey man, that person like you, dog. You know, for real. Like, you know, they steady doing this for you, and they steady doing that for you, and you like, okay, I'm thinking that I'm friends with you, but at the same time, you doing something to me that I don't have an inkling of you doing this to me, and especially if you're doing something that I'm used to or I want this type of attention. If you're telling me, man, Joe, you got nice little arms and biceps, and I hear this from people all day, every day, and it's making my head swole or whatever, you know, and I'm not even going to say that, you know, so I'm swole and all that stuff. I like the attention because I know that I'm working hard at it or whatever, and you give me that compliment or whatever, and you, not you, but, you know, just somebody just out the blue that I've been knowing forever, that just automatically just say, hey, man, you know, you really look nice. You really look good. You know, I was like, okay, thank you. But if they were like, no, you really look good. You know, you were like, okay. Then, you know, it's how you say it, the approach. If you're approaching me like that, then yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. You know, and then again, it's up to me. You know, so if I don't like you like that, I'm going to say, hey, you know, like Hydrina said, you know, it's a sign where you that's what the X is for. You got the X there to stop it. You going to sign your name on that line and go for it, or you going to keep it an X? Where it's at? You know, so, you know, I'm trying not to go around it, but it all depends on you. If you like it, if you got feelings for that person, you know, and to me what it sounds like in this certain situation is, let's say you do have feelings for that ex, then I think that I think you should pull away from that ex because you're going to get hurt or he or she is going to get hurt, period. It's no in between that, you know what I'm saying, doing favors, because if you look at it, somebody going to get hurt. You know, if I have a female, if my woman, and I know that my ex still likes me, oh, yeah, somebody going to get hurt because y'all already know what's in the dark is going to come to light, period. I don't know how many years from now, but it's going to appear. Woo, it's going to appear. Trust me. Take
now,
my word, please.
Right. Now, let me say this. I want to spend the next 20 minutes on this angle. And we haven't explored this angle. And I want to start with Sister Drina. The hate factor when it's used to stay connected to an ex, but it's masked as, oh, I hate this person, I hate that person, I hate the way they did me, or I hate the way da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is that a way of staying connected to that person? Because when you claim to have that type of energy toward a person, is that really, I can't stand this person, or is that a way, if you will, to keep that person on your mind, to keep that person in your thought process, to keep that person in your psyche, to keep reminding yourself of the time that y'all was together? Is that a sneaky way that the enemy uses in our heads to, even though we're not physically with that person no more, and that person is with somebody and we with somebody else, but you know, if I keep saying, I just hate that, I hate that person, is that a way of sneaking to stay connected to that person by using the mask of hate? Sister Drina, have you ever had that situation or what's your thought on that?
I think it is. And I think what a person needs to do, and again, this for me just speaks to inner strength, is figure that out. Like, are you saying you hate this person because you're really mad at them? You know, is it something that they did that you're just not happy about? You know, did they just really hurt you with a certain situation or something like that? Or are you really mad at yourself because this person has moved on and you didn't want or expect them to leave? like you really, we really have to learn to break down situations. And like one of my messages was like we need a discerning spirit. Like we really need to figure out what things are and what are causing us to react to certain situations the way that we do. Like we honestly cannot blame everything on the enemy. Like some of the stuff is us. Some of the you can be saying that you mad at this person because they ended it and you wasn't ready for it to be over. That's not necessarily the enemy. That's them recognizing that, you know, this relationship is not what they wanted for whatever reason, you know, and you have to figure that out. You just have to say, you know, is it me or is it the enemy? You know, do I have some ulterior motives here? I'm saying I don't like this person just so I can keep their name in my mouth because they always on my mind and I don't want to be honest and saying that I love them and I'm hurt and I didn't want to let them go. Like, you really have to figure that out for yourself. And every situation is going to be different. The couples are going to be different. The reasons for this, you know, so-called quote-unquote anger and, you know, whatever resentment is going to be different.